Hey, what's up, you guys? Thank you for coming back to my podcast. Why or what exactly is evil? Now, when we think of evil, we automatically associate it with something negative. But why is it always something negative? Not to say that, you know, being evil is like a positive thing, but more of like what causes the root of evil. It's not a feeling that just purely exists. It's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, I want to be evil. No, it's not. I think that the most evil people that have existed on this world, that have done unforgivable things, were kind of just misunderstood, and over time you kind of see this turmoil of events come into play when their mental illness really starts to get the best of them and it kind of takes over. So you watch yourself become something that you hate, theoretically. So like, for an example, in Scooby-Doo, yes, I always compare things to TV, but in all reality, you know, every time that they pulled off the mask, they would always notice that the real monsters are just other humans. So one of the more modern, untalked about evil people, I want to start with Randy Stair. So if you are familiar with Andrew Blaze, he was a popular YouTuber back in like, you know, 2010 to 2017. He is a very misunderstood guy that didn't really have friends. He was born September 17th, 1992, and died on June 8th, 2017. He murdered three of his co-workers in a mass shooting at a local supermarket and shortly thereafter killed himself. After the shooting, it was discovered Stair had left a big social media footprint, especially on YouTube. So if you check it out, he has like 22 episodes of some very cringy suicide videos. He was notably obsessed with the character Ember from a Nickelodeon cartoon, Danny Phantom. He even made a fictional group of girls all based on the character called Ember's Ghost Squad. So he pretty much reanimated Danny Phantom and put his own twist on it, and he was really in love with Ember's Ghost Squad. Even though Stair did not commit a school shooting, he really idolized the Columbine High School shooters, Eric Harris and Dylan Kelbold. He wrote about committing a school shooting, made an animated video of a school shooting, and wrote that the market is officially Columbine High School. He said that he would have gone back to his old high school and shot it up, but they had demolished it the year he graduated. He also believed that he was a woman trapped in a man's body, transgender. I don't understand why they felt that it was necessary to put that he was transgender, unless that's more of like a piece of evidence that he was really misunderstood for a long period of time. He wasn't acknowledged in his home, and he has home videos of himself and someone unknown. It sounds like a grandma or his mother saying like how death is wonderful and life isn't worth living as he was a child. So growing up, you know, being in a toxic environment to where you have a family member saying like, you know, glorious things about death, you would only grow up to also be planning the massacre, discussing his thoughts, and then he was just really obsessed with being a YouTuber, so he decided to upload it onto his now deleted page. He also planned to have a propane tank on his boss's desk, however, it didn't explode, luckily. Another really evil person is Gertrude Benzoski. She killed Sylvia Likens, an American teenager who was tortured and murdered. This abuse incredibly lasted for 3 months before she died from her extensive injuries and malnourishment in Indianapolis, Indiana. She was increasingly neglected, belittled, humiliated, beaten, starved, dehydrated by her tormentors. Her autopsy showed 150 wounds across her body, including several burns and receded skin. Via intimidation, her younger sister Jenny was occasionally forced to participate in her mistreatment.
The official cause of her death was determined to be a homicide caused by the combination of subdural hematoma and shock, complicated by severe malnutrition. After 8 hours of deliberation, the jury found Gertrude guilty of first-degree murder. She was sentenced to life imprisonment, but was released on parole in 1985. Paula was found guilty of second-degree murder and was released in 1972. Her husband and John were found guilty of manslaughter and served less than 2 years in Indiana Reformery before being granted parole a couple years later. Dennis Rader, 75, an American serial killer known as BTK, or the BTK Strangler. He gave himself the name BTK for bind, torture, kill. Between 1974 and 1991, Rader killed 10 people in Wichita, Kansas metro area. Rader sent taunting letters to police and newsletter describing the details of his crimes. After a decade-long hiatus, he resumed sending letters in 2004, leading to his 2005 arrest and guilty plea. He is serving 10 consecutive life sentences at El Dorado Correctional Facility in Kansas. Interesting. So he was born in 1945. He grew up in Wichita. Both his parents worked long hours and paid little attention to the children at home. He later described feeling ignored by his mother in the particular and resenting hatred for her. From a young age, Rader harbored sadistic sexual fantasies about torturing trapped and helpless women. He also exhibited sadism by torturing, killing, and hanging small animals. He acted out... He often spied on female neighbors while dressed in women's clothing, including women's underwear that he had stolen. Wow, he really did some fucked up shit. Like, it really goes into detail about some explicit things. I feel like I've already kind of dived a little bit too much into it, but it's pretty gruesome. Alright, moving on. Miyuki Ishikawa. She was a Japanese midwife and serial killer who is believed to have murdered many infants with the aid of several accomplices. It is estimated that her victims numbered between 85 and 169, however, the general estimate is 103. When she was finally apprehended, the Tokyo High Court's 4-year sentence she received was remarkably light considering to her actions, which resulted in a death toll so high it remains unrivaled by any other serial killer in Japan or any other female serial killer worldwide. Wow. Infants, homicide of at least 103 newborns. I didn't laugh at the fact that she killed 103 newborns, but more of the fact that on Wikipedia they really call it infanticide. Like, just a mass murder of infants. I feel like that should be like a new 2020 deathcore band. In the 1940s, there were many babies in her maternity hospital, and Miyuki found herself facing what she perceived to be something of quandary. The parents of these many of infants were poor and unable to raise their children properly without financial struggle, and she herself was unable to keep the infants because of a lack of social and charitable services. In order to solve this dilemma, she chose to neglect numerous infants, many of whom died as a direct result of the abuse. Almost all of these midwives employed by the same maternity hospital were disgusted by this practice and resigned from their later positions. She attempted to garner payment for these murders. She and her husband, Takashi, solicited large sums of money from the parents, claiming that it would be less than the actual expense of raising these unwanted children. A doctor was also complicit in the scheme and aided the couple by falsifying death certificates. And the ward ignored their actions.
So not only did she get away with murdering like 103 infants, but she also got her husband and a doctor like in on this scheme too. Like, I don't even see how you could defend yourself in being an accomplice with these murders. Like, you can't say that you were like convinced into it. So she literally found two other people with the same ideology and executed their plan. Now we have the wife of Cotton Eye Joe. Mary Ann Cotton was an English suspected serial killer convicted of and hanged for the murder by poisoning of her stepson, Charles Edward Cotton. It is likely that she murdered three of her four husbands, apparently in order to collect on their insurance policies and many others. She may have murdered as many as 21 people, including 11 of her 13 children. She chiefly used arsenic poisoning, causing gastric pain and rapid decline of health. She lived for about 40 years. She was born in 1832 and died 1873. She was born on Halloween at County Durham to Michael Robson, a sinker, and Margaret, baptized at St. Mary's on November 11th. Her sister Margaret was born in 1834, but only lived a few months. Her brother Robert was born in 1835. When they were 8 years old, they moved to the village of Merton. At the time of her trial, the Northern Echo published an article containing a description of Mary Ann as given by her childhood Sunday school superintendent at Merton, describing her as a most explanatory and regular attender, a girl of innocent disposition and average intelligence, and distinguished for her particularly clean and tidy appearance. Soon after the move, Mary Ann's father fell 150 feet to his death down a mine shaft at the Merton Colliery in February 1842. Her father's body was delivered to her mother in a sack bearing the stamp property of the coal company. As the miner's cottage they inhabited was tied to Michael's job, the widow and children would have been evicted. Damn, so not only do you fall to your death and, like, get insurance, but you're also evicted. Like, what did you do with the money? So she had one husband, two husbands, three husbands, four, maybe six? Looks like she had six different husbands, and it took her a long ass time to finally get arrested. She was charged with his murder, although the trial was delayed until after the delivery of her 13th and final child, whom she named Margaret Edith Quick Manning Cotton. Then we have Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. Is an American serial killer. He was initially convicted of 48 separate murders. As a part of his plea bargain, another conviction was added, bringing the total number of convictions to 49, making him the most second profilic serial killer in the United States history, according to confirmed murders. He killed many teenage girls and women in the state of Washington during the 1980s and the 90s. Most of Ridgway's victims were alleged to be sex workers and other women in vulnerable circumstances, including underage runaways. The press gave him his nickname after the first five victims were found in the Green River before his identity was known. He strangled his victims, usually by hand, but sometimes using ligatures. After strangling them, he would dump their bodies in forested and overgrown areas in King County, often returning to the bodies to, you know, do explicit things with them. And then on November 30th, 2001, as Ridgway was leaving the Kensworth truck factory where he worked in Renton, Washington, he was arrested for the murders of four women whose cases were linked to him through DNA profiling evidence. As a part of the plea bargain,
He agreed to disclose the locations of still missing women. He was spared the death penalty and received a sentence of life imprisonment without parole. His early life was pretty troubled, so he was born on February 18, 1949, in Salt Lake City, Utah, the second of Mary and Thomas Ridgway's three sons. His home life was somewhat troubled. Relatives have described his mother as domineering and said that while young, he witnessed more than one violent argument between his parents. His father was a bus driver who would often complain about the presence of sex workers. Ridgway had a bedwetting problem until he was 13, and his mother would wash his genitals after every episode. Oh my gosh. He would later tell defense psychologists that as an adolescent, he had conflicting feelings of anger and sexual attraction toward his mother and fantasized about killing her. Oh my god. He was dyslexic and was held back a year in high school. When he was 16, he stabbed a 6-year-old boy who survived the attack. He had led the boy into the woods and then stabbed him through the ribs into his liver. His IQ is recorded being in the low 80s. Now if we want to go way back in history, like year 37 through 68, the beginning of time, Nero wreaked havoc in the Roman Empire. He torched entire cities, killed thousands of people and every member of his family. People were stabbed, flamed, steamed, crucified, and impaled. It is considered that he began the great fire that burned Rome, but accused it of Christians, who were mercilessly tortured. Nero committed assisted suicide when he understood the rebellion would be lost. Alright, well, thank you guys for sticking around, learning about some evil people in history. As you can tell, it kind of had a pattern of just, like, people being misunderstood and then having their own intrusive thoughts and negative feelings about the world, also towards themselves, and just wanting them to have some sort of rise of emotion, though... Of course, actions, you know, aren't just, they can never be forgiven or justified in any way. It's just really interesting to see, like, patterns and how Christianity has really developed a sense of evil to kind of have a controlled fear among others, which having God kind of lead them towards the light is more like a saving beacon of kind of hope rather than going a different route and realizing that we are all, in a sense, eternal gods. Well, enough of my satanic spiel, but yeah, catch me again next time. Go ahead and check out my other podcasts. I might do more of these. There's a lot of so-called evil people in the world and really vile serial killers that I'd love to get juicy with. We can get into more details next time. Thank you.